a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I appreciate the spirit that we feel already here in the building. And I come here extra earlier today, and Brother Tony was already here on point. And just one little lick of fire coming in after another. You just feel that spirit, that presence just coming stronger and stronger. It's something about being around believers. So somebody that believes the word, and you can really fellowship with somebody that believes. I want to speak to you on a thought this morning, the word made flesh today. The word made flesh today, and she'll have this on the multimedia, in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We want to say God bless you. And I think we heard a good report on Sister Pansy that she's doing much, much better and going to be moved back to the other place. But we'd sure like to see her come right back into church, you know, we'd love that. But I know God's got a perfect will, and I got my desires, but we want His desires too, you know. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptisms and laying of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permits. And let's go to one more scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. You know I'm nervous in my body and my flesh, Lord. I just ask you to help me to yield myself to your spirit, Lord. And may your same anointing that gave me this message be here among us today, right here in this moment, Lord. Lord, let me not say anything out of your demeanor, Lord. Let everything be said according to your word, Lord, that every person can be edified, Lord, and leave this building a better person, Lord, closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to read a quote to you. I have a few quotes today. Just bear with me and just try to catch the thought. You know, that's something I remember Brother Jess Tremble said years ago. I went to visit him sitting in the service, and he said, always remember this. He said, when you go to a church service, try to catch the message. He said, because there's a message that's being given to you during that service. And he said, you have to realize the devil is fighting that minister when he's trying to bring forth a message to you. So remember that when you're sitting there, Lord, what is the message you're trying to give me today? Amen. While you see these things coming in and these people coming in, you'd better come in too if you're not already in now, gathered in heavenly places, see. It also means more than just to be rejoicing. In heavenly places, if you're really assembled in Christ, it's a fearful thing. Standing by that angel of the Lord, and you would think you'd just be shouting and screaming, that's not it. It scares you to death nearly. So you see, there's a difference in just rejoicing and bubble dancing, which is all right, and then coming down to the real thing. There's where the fear, it's a fearful thing. Not that you fear you're lost, but you're really before angelic being and the Holy Ghost Himself standing there. You say, amen. There's a, but I'll just tell you this real quickly. Brother Ed Biscoe talked about how he and Brother Branham were going down the road. He said, and all of a sudden he felt that presence drop down into the vehicle. He said, and saw the hairs of his neck and everything just stand up. And the presence was so strong inside the vehicle. And Brother Billy, Brother Branham told him, he said, Brother Eddie, it's like that every time. When that presence come down. There's times when you have the presence of the Lord, and then there's times when you really have the presence of the Lord. And it's different. You say amen. Amen. God is a Holy Spirit. When Moses come into the presence of the Lord told him, take off your shoes. And there will be times, as I've said, when we can laugh, we can be bubbly. There's times, and Brother Branham talked about, he'd run around the tree praising the Lord. But again, there will be times, brothers and sisters, when you're in that presence of the Lord, it's a fearful thing because it's such a strong presence. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Right. It says, now I want you to know this shore, and you listen to that to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. and my voice, even against my better judgment. I wanted to be a trapper, but it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs the things and foretells the things that's happening as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew, it's what I surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not in man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. We're not following something that a man has put together. Brother Brown said, it's not me that put this together. He said, all I can do is surrender to that anointing that comes down. And whenever he comes forth, brother and sister, that's not the man anymore. That's God. Because it's an anointing. Amen. Brother Branham himself was just a man. He had to be born again just like everyone else. He couldn't just tell the secrets of people's hearts on his own accord. Say, hey, let me tell you the secret. Let me tell you that. He did not do that. It was a fearful thing. It was the presence of the Lord that would come upon him. And the only way he could do anything was when the angel of the Lord came near and anointed him and revealed it to him. Brother Branham in himself could be wrong at times. In himself. That's true, because he was a man. If he was perfect all the time, he would be God. He is not God. He is our brother. Amen. He can do nothing unless the Father showed him first. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 6. I'm getting hot already, so bear with me. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass that same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelled in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of judges of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? David himself wanted to do something for the Lord, and the prophet, Nathan the prophet, looking at David's life with the best of his capabilities, he said, absolutely, David, you go build a house for the Lord. Absolutely. In his physical, manly, fleshly capabilities of judging what he saw, he presumed, he said, yes, absolutely, go build a house. Because that was the prophet in himself. That was the man in himself. But the Lord come back to the prophet. He said, you go tell David he shall not build the house. Because see, man in himself can fail, but God cannot fail. Amen. God will correct it when it needs to be corrected. And you've got a lot of critics out there that'll say, Brother Brown got this wrong. He got this wrong on the day or said something wrong with that. If it mattered, the Lord corrected it. Right. You can hear it when he's during the preaching of the word. He would be saying something and you can hear it in his voice. He'll say, something's wrong. Is there somebody sick in the building? Is something wrong? Something's wrong. You can see it. You can feel it. He says, something's wrong. Somebody said, read it again, Brother Branham. And he'd go back and read the scripture and found out he read the scripture wrong. Because when it mattered, the Lord would not allow him to get off the word. Right. Even in his physical best intentions, he was a man. Right. Amen. We're not following a man. We're following the Son of Man. Amen. The Holy Ghost. It's Christ. There's no message that says, wheresoever I have walked with all... Excuse me. Nathan in himself looked at all the characteristics of David's life and presumed that God would let him build the house. Let's go to St. John chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is about Jesus Christ. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. When the Lord showed Brother Branham a vision from praying for somebody, and he saw them healed, Brother Branham couldn't, that did not give him access. Brother Branham could just go up there and say, well, let me just pray for you and you'll be healed. It did not work that way. Brother Branham, he described it. He said there would be a hat in a certain place. There would be a coat in a certain place. And he would have to wait until that vision was absolutely perfect and the hat was put there. He couldn't pick the hat up and put it there and say, well, I'm going to pray for him now they'll be healed. He had to wait until it was in order. Brother Branham could do nothing until God showed him first. And the prophet, and Jesus Christ said, I can do nothing lest the Father show me. He was absolutely God in flesh. He was absolutely a manifestation of God in a different manifestation. He was God in flesh. But God honors that office and said, I can do nothing unless the Father show me first. Right. Brother and sister, we need to give ourselves that grace in our own life. We can do nothing unless God shows us.
Amen.
Give yourself some grace and, Lord, I don't know what the answer is, but I do know this, I'm following the Lord.
Amen.
The best of my ability, I'm following him, and as he shows me, I take another step. Amen? If he could just go, if Brother Branham could have just go and work in his own timing and do it however he wanted to, the purpose that God had for this healing would be perverted. God has a reason for someone being sick and being healed. He doesn't do it just for a public show. If you're going through something, it's not just a random thing. There's a purpose for it. And let me give you an example. There was a man that was born blind. And the Lord healed the man. And somebody come to him and said, for which sin was this man born blind? The mother or the father? They said, for neither one, is that the power of God could be glorified. There was a purpose for this man being born blind. There is a purpose for you going through. There was a purpose for the children of Israel. When God was leading the children of Israel, Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. God said, tell them to camp here. Camp between the mountain and the water and the sea. Tell them there was a purpose for it. Because that way the Lord could harden the heart of Pharaoh and the enemy could come in like a flood, and those devils that have been tormenting them over and over and over, God would drown them in the sea. And that is what God will do to your adversary that's coming against you. When he comes in like a flood, God is allowing them to rise up against you. God is allowing them to flex their muscles. Why? Because God is going to get victory over them. And he wants them to be their best that they can possibly be. That way the Lord can say, I beat you at your best on your territory. You know, we're living in a world where it's Satan's Eden, where it's darkness everywhere, pornography everywhere, rock and roll everywhere, ungodliness everywhere. We are on the devil's territory, walking through this world, and the Lord will defeat the devil at his absolute best.
Right.
Amen. God is going to defeat your adversary. Whatever battle you are fighting, God will give you victory, because God will get the honor for it.
Amen.
Amen. If Brother Branham was going to interpret a dream, God had to show him the vision first before he could tell you the dream. And many times, you hear on tapes, he'd say many times, they get things wrong. You said you dreamed this. Oh, that's right. That is exactly right. Let's go to Genesis chapter 41, verses 15 and 16. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I love Joseph. He said, it ain't me that do it. I can't interpret your dream. He can interpret the dream. And he just reveals it to me.
Amen.
The prophet was the same way, brother and sister. Let's go to Genesis 41, verses 39 through 43. It says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God had showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." God had a reason for doing this through Joseph. God had a reason to put Joseph in prison. God had a reason, because Joseph, Joseph was a perfect type of Jesus Christ. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was put into prison where two people, where one man would be saved, one man would be lost. Joseph was put here in such a, put in a position to where he'd been put on the right hand of the Father. This is not a type of Brother Branham. This is a type of Jesus Christ. And the message, the one we are believing, we are not following Brother Branham. We are following Jesus Christ.
Right.
Jesus Christ was put on the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ is the one that was given the authority. Joseph went through this for a purpose. Because God had a perfect plan. God had a full vision of seeing how there was going to famine come forth. And the people were going to need to be fed. And God needed to type out how the 144,000 would be brought back. God needed to do this. So he put Joseph through a trial.
Right.
I want you to remember this. Joseph went through a lot of bad stuff. Joseph, could you imagine being hated of your brother? Could you imagine having dreams and visions and people and you can't understand them? Could you imagine being in a position where you were literally thrown in prison and he helped a man to let him get free? And he said, just remember me. It's all I ask when I get out of prison. The man forgot about it. But God did it for a reason. The Lord needed to get Pharaoh's attention in order to get Joseph in a position. This is what I want you to tell you. This is a little nugget for you. You just remember, sometimes you are going through a trial because God is getting you positioned.
Amen.
Sometimes God has to humble you. Amen. Sometimes it'll be through sickness. Sometimes it will be through bad things at the job. Sometimes it can be this. Sometimes God has got to humble us.
Yeah,
because we won't humble ourselves. Because just as sure as I said, Brother Branham can make mistakes in himself, so can we. And let me say it this way, so will we.
Yeah.
The Lord will allow Brother Branham to make mistakes. God will allow you to make mistakes until he comes and says, all right, this matters. You're not going that far. God will stop you.
Right.
He said, you're not going that far. God, but when you're going through a trial, God is getting you positioned for something. You know, the world is positioned for the coming of the Lord, the worldly. They are absolutely on beat. The way they dress, the way they walk, the way they act, they are in time. They are in sync. If you were to go out and ask them, are you in time? Are you positionally placed for the coming of the Lord, the judgment of the world? They say, absolutely not. I know nothing about what you're talking about, but they are. The world is positionally placed for the judgment. And they don't even realize it. And the bride, brother and sister, we are being positionally placed for the rapture. Amen. We're in the rapture right now. They're going away.
That's right.
He says, then before I come here, I always try my best before God to pick out a little something, a scripture of some way, and ask his guidance. The last thing before leaving, help, Lord God, somehow, and give all you can to them, dear people. And I expect and do believe that I'll always live with you. I believe that this is the shortest space that we have will... while we stand together like this, we will be together in eternity. See, I do that. I believe that. And I want to help you. And if I say anything wrong, Heavenly Father knows it's not because I'm intending to do it. It's because I do it not knowing. I'd be ignorantly doing it. Therefore, knowing that you are my responsibility and on my hands by the gospel, I'll always want to keep you right in the pages of this Bible. And many times people's come to me and said, Brother Branham, if you'll just step out here and say, thus saith the Lord to my little child that's sick, it'll be well. Go out there and just say, it'll get well. That's all I want you to do. Now that is loyal and lovely. How I appreciate that. But you know, I can't do that until he tells me first. See, I can pray for the child, do all I can. But you see, what if I went out there under enthusiasm and said that? See, if I said, thus saith the Lord, it really would be, thus saith my enthusiasm. See, and see, then it might happen and it might not happen. But then what if the same person is under my enthusiasm and it didn't happen? Then that person might be in a case sometimes between life and death. Then where would their confidence be? They'd be afraid that I might be under enthusiasm again, see? So when I say it, I want to be dead earnest that it's right with all I know. And then when he speaks to me, I can just say what he showed me. Whether it's good or bad, I have to say it. Sometimes it's not a pleasant to tell people those things, but yet I'm just as duty-bound to tell the evil things that will befall them as I'm duty-bound to tell the good things that will befall them. And after all, we want the will of the Lord. Sometimes the will of the Lord is contrary to our desires. But still, if we want the will of the Lord, it's just as precious to know the evil will befall us if it is the will of the Lord. Whether it be good or evil, it's the will of the Lord that we want done, and I know we look at it in that manner. And that's from going beyond the camp. Brother Branham acknowledged that it had to be the Lord that showed him that it would be done. The Lord has a purpose in everything he does. If the Lord gives you a song, it is for a purpose. If the Lord comes down and he gives you a special anointing, let's catch grab onto this. If the Lord drops down into your room, wherever you're at, and he drops his presence down to you, it is there for a purpose. It's not just something random, brother and sister. Right. You know, I may pop in on Brother Tim or Brother Matthew, or, you know, we're going to be popping in on Dylan before too long. I may pop in unannounced and not have a purpose. Because I'm a man, I can do things like that. God don't do that. If God does something, it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. And that's what we got to grab onto is when that presence comes down, we need to acknowledge, God, you are anointing me for a purpose right now. What is it you're trying to tell me? What is it you're wanting to show me? Because brother, sister, many times we're killing our own growth. Because the presence will come. He'll come and knock at your heart, but you're not responding. We got to respond to that. Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me? What is it you're wanting to speak to me? And there's many times the Lord will prepare your heart for something that's going to take place in just a few minutes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The Lord will not just perform a circus or a show. He does everything for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And just real quick, they're talking about, I just mentioned this about Tony, we're talking about in the back a while ago. How the scripture says that if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain be cast over to the sea. But Brother talked about how Joshua was on the hunt for his enemy. And he goes back to your motive and objective. You can't just go out and just go speaking in faith. I want this to go over here. I want this over here. I want this over here. It goes back to your motive and objective. And Joshua was after his enemy. And he was running out of sunlight. And Joshua spoke to the sun. And he said, sun, stand still. And it did it. He had the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, and it came to a time when he needed it, God honored his spoken word. And God will do the same thing for you and I, brother and sister, whenever we are on the march for the Lord, we are in the battle for the Lord, we are in the will of the Lord. Whenever an ambassador goes to another country, they have the whole country backing them up if they're walking according to what they're supposed to. But we must walk according to the will of the Lord in our life. Brothers and sisters, that's one of the most important things in our lives, is if we can walk. If I was to ask an individual, write on a piece of paper or something, are you walking in the will of the Lord? That's one of the most serious questions we have in this life. It don't matter how much money you make. It don't matter how big your house is or how big your car is.
Right.
How pretty your dog is. None of that matters. The only thing that matters, brother and sister, is are you walking in the will of the Lord?
Amen.
You know, more, the greatest critics that we have towards them asking that question, every little thing, ask them how much they pray. How much do you pray? How much do you read your Bible? How much do you meditate on the Lord? How much time are you devoting, investing in your walk with the Lord? Amen. You don't invest any time. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You don't listen to tapes, but yet you're going to criticize everything about the message. Where are you standing? Where is your footing at? And if people say, I'm leaving the message because I'm going for freedom, and then look at the life they live.
Right.
Yeah. I heard terrible news the other day, and I won't say the man's name, but I know of a minister that he loved this guy. He's walked away from it. He said, best thing I ever did, and his wife drowned shortly after. Lord, help the man. Help him. But people say, this message is best thing I ever did, is walk away from it. And then where does your life leave you? Because you should be going to holier walk. Amen? But a lot of times the critics they have is not because they want a holier walk. They want to look more like the world.
Right.
Because they say, I have freedom now. I don't have to dress anyway. I can dress any way I want. I can do any way I want. I can watch whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. And praise Jesus, I'm a Christian. Brother and sister, God, the word Jesus did not come to give us a loose walk. Jesus Christ brought grace to forgive you whenever you're walking in the will of the Lord with all of your heart and you fall down. He is there to pick you up,
amen,
dust you off, and lead you back towards a holy life.
Amen.
Whenever he caught the woman, whenever he went to Simon's house and they didn't wash his feet, and that woman that was living a dirty lifestyle came into his life, in his presence, and washed his feet with her tear and her hairs. You know what? She didn't go live that same old dirty life. There was something inside her that changed, brother and sister. There was a Holy Spirit that came from the inside and it set her free. And that's the thing. The Word is here to set you free.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I love about being a Christian, is it makes me free.
Amen.
There's nothing like being bound. There's nothing like being free.
Amen.
Amen. I love this message. I love being free, brother and sister. Just as sure as Jesus could do nothing until the Father showed him, Joseph could do nothing, Nathan could do nothing, Brother Brennan can do nothing, you can do nothing until God shows you. But brother and sister, when God shows you, you can stand your ground against the devil.
Amen.
Simon, you know, whenever you look at Samson, Samson was a little bitty sissy boy. There was nothing to look at in him, but whenever he went, but I'm here to tell you, when that presence come upon Samson, he was no longer Samson, it was God inside Samson. You know, whenever David went to go find Goliath, if he was in himself, he was just a ruddy little guy. But when the Spirit of the Lord come inside David, it was no more David, it was God inside David. Whenever Jesus saw John would die, Jesus wept because John died. But whenever Jesus saw Lazarus in the ground, he said, Lazarus, come forth. It was no longer a man, it was God. Brother and sister, there's a God inside you, and that God inside you is what makes you the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Man in himself is powerless. We as people do things, some things that are particular, but God don't. God does everything for a purpose. Listen to this. He says, though he promised just before the coming of the end time, the world would get like it was in Sodom, when a man come down in human form, three of them, two angels of God himself. That was God. The Bible said it was. Now he come down and he manifested himself there by turning his back to the tent where Sarah was and told Abraham what Sarah was thinking in his tent. That's right. Now Jesus himself said, at that day when the Son of Man is being revealed, in other words, the Son of Man, the ministry of Jesus Christ himself, the church will come through justification through Luther. Through sanctification, through Wesley. Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, through Pentecostals. And go right on into the perfection of the Son of Man, that when husband and wife will be the same self persons, God will be so manifested into his bride, his church, till they will both be the same. They are one. God is calling the bride, you and I, to be one with his word. Amen? Brother Branham could turn his back to the tent, to the people. And he would give this illustration. He could turn his back to the people. He'd say, your name is such and such. You're from this street address. This is where you're from. This is what's wrong with you. That was not Brother Branham. That was God.
Yeah, right.
You got a lot of imitators that can try to imitate that. There was times, brother and sister, when he'd be over in Russian somewhere, and he couldn't even pronounce the name. I couldn't pronounce the name. And I've got a high school diploma. I've got something, by golly. He couldn't even pronounce the name because it was so long. He would say, I can't pronounce the name, but it's spelled A. This is your name. This is what's wrong with you. That's right. And they'd just be weeping and overwhelmed because that presence of the Lord was so strong right there. And pray for them, and God would heal their body. Amen. You know why he would do that? He would raise their faith up
right, by
discernment. Now, I can't do that. Brother Tony can't do that. We're not called to do that. But you know, when the word will preach right down, and the preacher will go right down things that you've been talking about, something you've been meditating on, something you've been dealing with, it's the same Holy Spirit doing the discernment.
Amen.
And the reason God does it is to raise your faith.
Right.
Because you know what? There's unbelieving devils that tries to come on you and makes you doubt yourself, doubt your position, doubt who you are, doubt where you're going. They doubt you'll ever be healed, doubt you'll ever be delivered. Unbelieving devils will come on you, but through the preaching of the word, those devils have to let go. They have to pull back because they cannot stay in the presence of the light, and you can believe the word right then.
Amen.
That's why most people receive their healing, deliverance, through the preaching of the word.
Right.
Not through someone laying their hands on them, not through going through a prayer line, through the preaching of the word.
Amen.
Because that's where it's at, brother and sister. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. How could you hear without a preacher, and how could he preach lest he be sent? Because it's a man that's called of God preaching the gospel, and that faith is going into your heart that you can be healed.
Amen.
Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've sat right in service and received my healing through the preaching of the word. Amen. Brother Branham himself could not do that. Why was God doing it? It was to get the people's attention. Why did Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead? To get the people's attention. And Jesus would say, if you can't believe me, believe the works.
Mm-hmm.
And brother and sister, I believe that's where God is calling the bride. If you can't believe me, believe the life I'm living.
Right.
You know what? They might be able to say, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that. But you know what? I have to admit one thing. That's a Christian. That's the greatest testimony we can have in this life. That somebody, the unbeliever, can say, you know what? That's a Christian.
Yeah.
That's the real deal. I may not agree with what he thinks about how you have to dress. I may not have to agree with what he thinks about certain things, what you can watch or what you can listen to. I may not agree with that, but I'm going to have to tell you something. That man's a Christian. That's the real deal.
Amen.
Brother and sister, that's the testimony we want.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to St. John 6, verses 40 through 51. Many times, the Pharisees and Sadducees would claim to be children of Abraham. This is going to be 40 through 51, so it's a little bit longer of a scripture. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which cometh from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus was outlining shadows of the scriptures, the Old Testament. These are people that always claim we follow Moses. We follow Abraham. We follow. He was outlining the scriptures of where it should have lit something else. And wait a minute. My fathers ate manna every day. There was bread that came every day, and they were sustained off this. There was no connection inside here. There was nothing inside these people to grab the revelation. He was giving them a truth. He was giving them something, but if there was something inside them, it would have responded to that and say, "That's you're this. You are who this represented in the Old Testament." But there was nothing inside them to respond. Let me show you what I'm talking about. When Jesus said, "I have need to go by Samaria," he went to go talk to this woman. He was talking to her mind, her spirit, contacting her spirit. He said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "Right, you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband." She said, "I perceive that thou art a prophet." He discerned her heart. And there was something inside her that made the connection. It was a revelation. A word was given to her, and she could grab a hold to it. There was something inside her that could grab the word. You can say the same message to three different people, and two will say, "I didn't get anything out of it." And one will say, "I got it. There was something there. There was something inside my heart that got a hold of it." Jesus was talking to them. These were the leaders of the church. They should have caught it, but they didn't. It dumbfounds me how that when the Lord would heal somebody, you think that they would say, "Praise God. We have been praying for brother so-and-so with a withered hand for months and months and months, and praise God, he was healed." But you know what they did? They condemned him for it. Who are you going to heal somebody on the Sabbath? Who are you going to do this? Who are you? Aren't you from Mary? Can anything come good from Nazareth anyway? Who are you to do this? If their heart was really for the people, they would have said, "Praise God, they were healed. Brother so-and-so was healed. Praise God." But they didn't. They were angry. Why? Because they didn't do the work. Yeah. Because they didn't do the healing. It's not about us. It's not about the ministry. It's about the flock.
Right.
It's about the people. See, man. It does not offend me if someone can be prayed here, they don't get prayed for, and they go somewhere else and they get healed. I say, praise God.
Amen.
Because we're on the same team.
Amen.
There is no this. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism.
Right.
There's one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Beth Methodist, Baptist, Spirit, Truth Assembly, Word of Life, Tabernacle. There's one body, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you are born into that body.
Amen.
That's where you are born again. And your old man dies, and that same spirit will come inside you as the exact same spirit that comes in everybody else.
Right.
And guess what? You'll walk according to the same direction.
Yeah.
Now, they got different brands today. We said, "Well, I kind of do my own thing." Well, you get the same Holy Ghost, you won't. You do the same thing because it's the seed that's inside you. You put life inside a seed. Now, this may sound funny, but it's trying to get a point across. We got to do something serious about our weeds in our front yard. It looks terrible. It's weeds. So we're talking about planting some seed. I'm not sure what kind of grass we're going to plant yet, but we're going to. We're going to plant something. We're going to do some looking. But I can put different seed in a seed inside that. And you know, he can say, "You know what? I'm in 2023. Times have changed, okay? And we don't walk and dress that way anymore. Because this is 2023, going on 2024. But I'm here to tell you something. If the life is inside that grass, you put it in the right atmosphere, it will look exactly like the original grass.
Right.
It's not going to change because of the times.
Yeah.
The word does not change because of the times.
Right.
The seed does not change because of the times.
Right.
You put it in the right atmosphere, it will bear the same fruit.
Amen.
Brother Tony, you can try all you want to talk that tomato into looking something different. It will look at you like you're strange because it can't do it. It can only be what it is. It can only be the seed. Brother and sister, you are a child of God.
Amen.
You are a child of God.
Right.
And the devil's going to try to pervert you. He's going to try to push you. He's going to try to press your minds that you'll never do it. You'll never make the original. You'll never do it. You've already made it.
Amen.
You were in God's mind before the foundation of the world. He said, I have chosen you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
God has already wrote. He's already wrote the book.
That's right.
We're just fulfilling the pages. Amen?
Amen.
Every battle that I'll ever fight. There's a song that I hear. And sister, what's that sister I like to hear sing? Other than my daughter. Brother Wayne Lawson's daughter. Bethany?
Bethany Lawson.
That sister, I think God bless you, sister. She sings a song, you can take the workman, but the work will go on. I love that song because you know what? We've got a work. God has got a work that he's been going down the ages of perfecting a bride. And that devil might take the workman off the scene, but this work will go on.
Amen.
He might be able to take me out. The work will go on.
Amen.
My children are going to make it.
Amen.
You're going to make it.
Amen.
Because the word already said that we will.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham's ministry in the same sense demonstrated that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he made the Bible live again. I'll be careful on how I say that. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was God.
Amen.
God, through Brother Branham, made the Bible live again.
Right.
The church leaders permitted the people to sell sheep, doves, in the temple. I want you to stop and think about the reasoning of these priests. They would allow them to bring the sheep, the doves, and all these things inside the temple so the worshiper could easily come and buy their sheep, buy their dove, do their sacrifice before the Lord, be in the presence of the Lord. I imagine their assemblies were pretty big. But Jesus come in and he threw the tables over, drove out the sheep, drove out people. He said, my house should be the house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. These priests, absolutely, if you look at the priest, the signs of the fruit of the Spirit, they would look more like the fruit of the Spirit than what Jesus would.
Yeah.
Which one looks like they're more of the fruit of the Spirit? The gentle priest that would say, oh, they're just sick. You know, I understand if you ain't got time to serve God. I understand if you don't have time to go to church. I've got to know the distance. That's not what I'm talking about. Grab what I'm saying. God understands how you can't take the time to consecrate. You just do your sacrifice before the Lord, and the Lord will see that. But here comes Jesus with his whips and turned the tables over. He said, you've made this a den of thieves when it's supposed to be a house of prayer.
Right.
They had good intentions, and they were perverting it, and they were a hindrance to the people.
Right.
Brother and sister, we want correction.
Amen.
Because when correction comes, we can get back in line, and you'll find out a lot of times receive healing.
Yeah.
A lot of times to receive deliverance after the correction.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Daniel, that happened to you? Absolutely. I'm going to try to skip a lot of this. I know it's getting kind of late. Listen to this. It says, remember the days of Sodom, that was a man standing there that could eat and drink, but it was God in the man, showing that God would appear in the last days in the form of human flesh in his church, which is his bride. And they'd do the same things that he did. And that's from Convinced and Concerned. Let's go to St. John chapter 14, verses 10 through 13. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believeth me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says, great, these works and greater works shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. This scripture, a lot of times, if we're not careful, it starts to be omitted from the Bible. Brother and sister, this scripture still applies. The works that he did and greater works shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. You can't do anything greater than raising the dead. But he's talking about greater in numbers. I know many of you know. Greater in number, because when you have the same Holy Spirit, brother and sister, you can do the same works that Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You can do the greater works.
Right.
You can be free. Amen. Now, more on the stands. Get a little bit. One of the key words in that is, it's he that believeth. And believeth means you've got to continue to believe.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't have just believed and had faith at one time and live off that. You can't get warm off a painted fire.
Right.
You've got to have a present walk with the Lord. You've got to have a present anointing with the Lord. As Brother Tony said, you've got to seek and find God daily. You've got to have something inside you where you're concentrating, where you're seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, where are you at in today? Where is your anointing in my life today? And not like you're walking around like a lost person, but I'm talking about when you get up in the morning and you're praying, you're looking for that anointing. You know, if I get up before my wife, I'm expecting her to come in the living room. I'll go in there and sit on the couch. I can pretty much listen. And I'll hear that bedroom door open up and I hear the little feet dropping inside there. Because it won't be long and she'll be right beside me. Brother and sister, it's the same thing with the Lord.
Amen.
When you get up, you should expect Him to come.
Amen.
When you sit still, when you're meditating on the Lord, say, Lord, I just want to think about you. You should expect Him to come. Because you will get what you expect.
Amen.
If you don't believe He's going to come, and you're just saying, you know what, the Lord ain't going to come anyway, you know what, you probably won't feel nothing. You probably won't see nothing. But if you will expect the presence of the Lord to come, whenever you sit with your Bible and say, Lord, I want to understand what this Bible means. I want to understand what this message means. Expect the Lord to come. Because God wants to talk to you. God wants to. He wants to open the Word to you. He wants to get in fellowship with you. He wants you to understand it. But it goes back to what we said before. It goes back to your intent. God knows if your intent is, I really want to know your truth, Lord. And God will do it to you. I know what it's like to have questions. There's certain things about the message I don't understand. But you know what? I don't take the whole message and just throw it out. You know what I do? I put that on a shelf and say, Lord, I don't understand this yet. In time, open my eyes to it. And you know what? Serving the Lord for over 20 years now. And little by little, the Lord says, go pick that up off the shelf.
Yeah.
And pull that shelf and open that question, and I'll find out. Down the ages, all the things start lighting up again. But you know what? There are still some things, Brother Daniel, it's still on the shelf. About the Bible. I don't understand it all. Because we are not to fight this battle with this right here.
Right.
And I thank God for not allowing me to see everything. Because if I did, my strength and my confidence would be in what I could retain. My strength is not what I can retain. My strength is His presence is with me.
Yeah.
And that means no matter if I'm sick, no matter if I'm broke, no matter if I'm healthy, no matter if I've got money, I've got the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
That's the most important thing in our life. Amen.
Amen.
Just a couple more quotes. Now, how He said it'll appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the Word so that the bride will know her husband, know her mate, the revealed Word. That's why this has to happen. It wasn't in the Reformers, wasn't in Luther, Wesley, and the Pentecostals and them. The Scripture says it wasn't. But it will come that is His promise for this age. We're living in the age that His coming will be in. She must be identified in Him. Any woman must be identified with her husband, or the two are one. And Christ's bride has to be identified with Him, for the two are one, and He is the Word. Not the denomination, the Word. We are to be the children of the light, and the light is the Word, which is made light for this age. How do we know light? Except it comes from the Word, all right? The Word made flesh is the light of the age when you see it. The Bible said so. Then people looked at Jesus there and said, well, this man, who's he? Why, he's born illegitimate birth down there. Why, his father and mother is this, that, and the other. But they didn't know Him. They didn't. If they know the Scriptures, they would have known Him, and He said so. They said, we're Moses' disciples. He said, if you knew Moses, you would know me, for Moses wrote of me, and still too blind to see it. See how humble, away from all the crude denominations and the creeds and everything, God moved right into the flesh in the form of a man, a kinsman redeemer. She must be identified with Him. We are invited to be the children of light, that we walk in the light. Amen. As I mentioned a while ago earlier, this light was not come to put you in darkness and chains and bondages.
Right.
It's come to set you free.
Amen.
What good would a gospel be if it won't set you free, but here's extra bondages you have to have? You have to dress like this. You have to act like this. You have to do this. You have to do that. That's not freedom. That's bondage. The spirit of this message, the word has come for not to put extra bondage, but to set you free.
Amen.
I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. There was a woman where Jesus was teaching the synagogue. A woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And they grabbed the woman and dragged her before Jesus. Why they didn't drag the man? Who knows why? Brought the woman right before Jesus. He says, Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The word says stone her. What do you say? Jesus turned and acted as though he didn't even hear a word they said and began to write on the ground. He stood up. He said, let he that's without sin cast the first stone. And from the oldest to the least, I think that's how the scripture says it, they all left and left their stone. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, there's none that condemn, none here but you. He said, and neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Brother and sister, when the word is being preached to you, it's not to condemn you. It's not to ridicule, it's to set you free.
Right.
Or he said, go and sin no more. That's where she can walk in freedom, brother and sister. There was another time in scripture where there was a man that was insane. He was bound by legion, the devils. And they would torment this man to the point where they would try to bind him with chains. And this man would hurt so bad on the inside, he would cut himself. Think of it, a man that was so bound, hurt so bad, he would cut himself to relieve himself. But here comes Jesus in the midst of that, and Jesus set the man free. He didn't come there to condemn the man. He didn't come here and say, you know what, you filthy little hypocrite. Don't you know who I am? I am the Word. He didn't come that way. He came to set them free.
Amen.
This message has not been come to condemn anybody. It's to set you free.
Amen.
But there are some people that did condemn, because Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and you loved your darkness greater than light.
Right.
Because they didn't want to walk in the light. This word, brother and sister, if we will walk in the light, if you will walk in the truth, whenever the Lord pricks your heart, say, Lord, I want to walk in your truth. I want to walk in your light. Right then, brother and sister, you're forgiven.
Right.
I believe that with all my heart. You don't have to go back and renew baptisms. You don't have to go back and get rebaptized. You don't have to go up and have the ministry lay their hands on you.
Right.
When you say, Lord, forgive me, from your heart, say, Lord, I want to walk in your truth. Right then, God's forgiven you.
Amen.
Right then. Don't go renew it. Let's go on to perfection.
Amen.
And perfection's maturity, brother and sister. We're becoming a man.
Amen.
Becoming a woman. And maturity of the gospel. For we know who we are. We know what we stand for. Because you know, there's a lot of people that think they're a man, and they're not a man yet. When I was 13 years old, I was the biggest man you ever saw in my own head. But you know what, my brother said, you know what makes a man? It's not being 250 pounds full of muscle. What makes a man is character.
Amen.
It's you want to test the manliness in a man? Where's the marks on his knees from that man being on his knees before God?
Amen.
Praying. You want to measure your mark as a man? Where's your prayer life with the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Where's your prayer life for your family?
Amen.
Where is your standard for your home? What's the standard that you stand for? Because you know, you've got to stand for something. Because
right.
If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything.
Right.
And the devil will do his best to get you on the slope of reasoning. And you will keep sliding further and further and further and further. That's why scripture says, let your yeas be yeas, your noes be no.
Yep.
You got to know this is what the word, this is the standard that God has given us in this word. This is the standard. I like to fly fish, as I mentioned. You know, going across the stream, when you're walking across that stream, I can have the best of intentions to walk straight. Guess what happens when you step in that stream? That stream can be that deep. And you'll think, I'll walk through that like nothing. You step in that stream, that water is so strong it'll push you downstream. And that's exactly the way this world is. When you try to walk it by yourself and you're not walking in the vision, you're not looking at the vision, you ain't got something holding you accountable, It's going to keep pushing you further and further and further and further down the road, and your mark was way back there.
Yeah.
Brother and sister, that's why we need a fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Where a preacher can get right inside your heart, right inside your home, and start dealing with things that you don't want him dealing with. Brother Ben talked about the doors and a door. He said, you know, you got my personal life. I'll invite you in, but don't you be touching my personal life. Now, we love it when Sister Sydney comes by. We miss her when she's gone. Sometimes we miss you too, Dylan. You know, when she comes, but you know how welcome would she feel if she come in? I said, Sydney, you come in, but don't you be sitting in any of my chairs. Don't be sitting on my couch. Don't be sitting on my dinner table. You can sit in that chair over there. She gets thirsty? No, you can't under drink. I'll let you in the house already. Be thankful for that. How welcome would she be? She ain't going to want to stay there, but welcome her in. And that's exactly how many times the people do the Lord. Let's say, I let the Lord into my heart. I let the Lord into my life. But whenever he tries to deal with your personal life, do you allow the Lord to deal with your personal life? Because he wants ownership of your life. The other thing he talks about is your faith, a door of faith. Where some people will try to hold on to their old faith and say, you know what, this, don't try changing me. I know what I believe. There's a lot of people in the message that have that problem. I know what I believe. Don't you tell me what to believe. I know. And when the word tries to help you, they'll hold that door shut, the door of faith. Brother and sister, let me encourage you this morning. Open your doors to the Lord.
Amen.
Not to Brother Daniel, not to Brother Tony, not to Brother Brown. Amen. To the Lord. Because that's who we're talking about this morning. That is who we're dealing with. The same way that Brother Brennan would have to wait on that spirit to come upon him, it's the same way, Brother Tony, same way with me and every other minister that's in his calling. He can't do anything for himself. Let's all stand. Sister Sydney, I want you to continue to go to the refrigerator, sit on the couch, wherever you want to sit on, and same for you, brothers and sisters, and I want to say this in the open air. I have the biggest mouth sometimes. Can you say amen? Sister Lisa says, amen. I love it when people come fellowship with us. I do. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So please come fellowship with us. We'll leave it at that. I love it. I miss you when you're gone. You know what? I want it to be when every person leaves my presence, leaves my home, leaves something that's under my domain. I want you to feel edified. When you're in the presence of my dog, I want you to be edified. I know that sounds ridiculous. I want everything that I have that's under my domain. Lord, help me to have this under the circuit of your word.
Amen.
That you feel edified for me. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. And musicians, if you want to come forth. Anybody got one, just prepare to lift up your hands today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much. And Lord, I love your people. I love this, the presence that I feel among them, to see their reception of the word, Lord. I believe the very intents of their heart, Lord, they want to serve you, Lord. Lord God, I ask you that you would just walk the aisle this morning, that you would knock on hearts, God. Lord, that each one of us would say, Lord, here's my heart, Lord. Here are the doors in my heart. I want to open it all up to you. Lord, open every door. If there be anything in my life that would be a hindrance to you, Lord, I want to lay it down at your feet. Lord, help me with my attitude, Lord. So many times the devil will try so hard to give us the wrong attitude, Lord, where we take things wrong. We hear things wrong. Lord God, help our attitude be in the right way, that when you come, Lord, when you're speaking through our brother, Lord, that we can hear you, Lord. We can hear your message, Lord. Lord, we want to be the word made flesh today, but we acknowledge that we can't do that in ourselves. We need you to come, Lord. Help us, Lord. Open our eyes to your word. Give us an understanding of it, Lord. Help us to stand up for the standard you've given us this hour. Lord, not of trying to follow some man, Lord, but to follow your word, Lord. We love you, Lord. Bless us today. Help us to walk in your spirit. Bless our fellowship today, Lord. Lord, if there be anybody that needs just an extra touch, Lord, would you come this morning and have your way? In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you.
truth. There was enough truth put over this pulpit this morning to save the whole world.
Amen.
They would just listen to it.
Right.
And that means it'll do you some good. Amen. If you'll just listen to it. You know, God pours out his blessings, but there is a reverential respect that we should have for him. Brother Branham said, I think Brother Daniel was speaking that while ago. Brother Branham said, somebody told me one time, said, when that angel of the Lord comes near, why don't you ask him such and such? Brother Branham said, I'm too afraid to. And but it's not like you're afraid he's going to throw you into hell or something like that, but it's a reverence because of who he is. I was thinking in the last couple of days, it's such a shame. He purchased everything that we would ever need, and the whole world just turns their back on it. It's so sad that they do that to him. But so we want to have a reverence respect. You should have a reverence respect when you come in here. You should have a reverence respect when you fellowship with each other. We love the fellowship we have, and we have something very special in this little assembly. But you should have a reverence for your brothers and sisters because it's the God that's in them. I was reading, I think it was last night, my wife and I reading where Paul, they bound Paul, the Romans did, and they took him in and they were going to beat him. And he said to them when they came to beat him, they said, hey, is it lawful for you to beat a Roman? And the centurion, this is a man that's over 100 soldiers, centurions, said, wait a minute. And he went to the chief captain and said, you need to be careful, this man's a Roman. And the chief captain, he got all concerned. He came and he said, are you a Roman? Paul said, yeah. And they were afraid just simply because they had bound a Roman. Roman soldiers, Roman leaders were afraid because they had bound another one of their own. Well, if the Romans, you know, Romans represent what that represents in the Bible. Well, if they can be that way about one of their own, what should we be? About the way we treat one another. Amen? So we want to have a reverential respect to each one. You know, Brother Daniel said a while ago, he's talking about it, what matters. And brother, sister, if it's in this Bible, it matters. Right? If it's not in here, don't worry about it. If it's in, and I want to bring it forward. If it mattered to God in this day, he brought it to us through that prophet who just simply from that ministry went back to this Bible and made this Bible a new book for good night and clarified the things that just the common man can't clarify. You know, people said, well, Brother Branham just preached that he just said something that Larkin preached. And I said, that's right. Because he was to tie loose ends of all these truths that were out there. He was to tie all that up. But here's my point. Larkin was not that prophet that was to come. And all these other men. But this man was. And when this ministry went back and said, that's the truth. Now God will hold a man responsible for that. When God gave those truths. And so if it's in the Bible, if it's in this message, it matters. God brought it to us. So we if it is there, like I said a while ago, if it's not there, don't worry about it. But if it is there, we need to pay attention to it. Pay attention to what it is. Let me just tell you, Brother Daniel mentioned this a while ago, but no matter what you've done, if you will come repentant, if you'll come to God, regardless of what it is, if you come with the right attitude, your sins will be forgiven. And you can walk away with peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many in this room have experienced the peace of God that absolutely went beyond understanding? Look around. If you haven't experienced that, I want you to look around. There are people. See, because God has a way to bring something to you that will drop peace in your heart, and no matter what you're going through, peace in your heart that passes all understanding of anything that you're going through. And so, you know, we are as Christians, we're responsible in our walk. We're responsible for our walk. And And in our walk, what do we need to do? We just need to do like we do in natural life. We need, we find what works. And if you're doing something and it's not bringing peace to your life, find something different until you find what does work. You know, Brother Daniel mentioned there just a little while ago that people, I think, hurting themselves. And there are people all over the world that they actually, in their pursuit of joy and happiness, they're hurting themselves. Drugs, alcohol, and all kinds of ungodly living, seeking for something, because it's coming off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's hurting. But then there's the tree of life, that you can find that peace, and it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't leave you for dead. And so we just want to encourage you just to think on these things that you heard this morning. Brother Daniel was talking about when you get up in the morning and you pray and so forth, and you should expect the presence of God to come, and that is right. You know what? Sometimes you'll wake up in the morning, a lot of times. And when you wake up, you find out he's already there. And that's one of the most wonderful things in the world, to wake up and the Lord Jesus Christ is standing there, ready to fellowship with you as soon as you open your eyes. It's amazing to me. And so it's not like that every day, but it does do that. And so we want to be mature people. I was sitting out in the parking lot this morning and thinking about mature Christians. And in this day we live in, this modern young people, we've got some good young people here in our church, but I'm talking about the world out there. They don't want to pay a price. They want everything free. They want it all handed to them. They don't want to work. And you know as well as I do that it takes work. And so let's don't be like the world in Christianity. Let's not just be standing here looking for handouts and wanting everything free, even though it is free. Right? Free gift from the Lord. But let us be willing to work and work hard for the Lord Jesus, that he might provide for someone else who does have need. Enjoyed that this morning. I really appreciate it. God has a purpose.